Las importantes reformas en el plano de la tributación, la propiedad de la tierra y encaminar a Colombia hacia concretar la tan ansiada paz con todos los grupos armados que actualmente operan en el país no serán tareas fáciles. Y sin duda, los enemigos de los cambios usarán todos los recursos a su alcance para hacer fracasar los intentos de reforma del nuevo gobierno. El jurista y ex juez español Baltasar Garzón, comentando el significado del nuevo gobierno, hacía ver también la amplitud política del gabinete que acompañará a Petro. Comillas. Los caminos por los que piensa avanzar Petro discurrirán por la senda del acuerdo, por un pacto nacional que incluya a quienes no votaron por él, reto importante que incluye una suma de voluntades que hoy por hoy no existe en Colombia. En su ejecutivo hay conservadores como Álvaro Leiva, quien conoce bien las negociaciones con los guerrilleros, o Cecilia López, que desde la cartera de Agricultura tendrá que desarrollar la imprescindible reforma agraria. En la ONU ha situado a un símbolo, Leonor Zabalza, una mujer indígena y diplomática. Cierre comillas. Una ventaja importante con la que contará Petro es una sólida mayoría en ambas cámaras del Congreso, lo que debiera asegurarle la aprobación de los proyectos más emblemáticos de su programa de gobierno, aunque por otro lado, ya se había revelado la semana pasada que el gobierno de Iván Duque había dejado las cartas o las arcas fiscales en muy malas condiciones y, sin duda, una potencial insuficiencia de recursos puede afectar la concreción de las medidas anunciadas por el gobierno, especialmente en lo que se refiere a los programas sociales y otras medidas necesarias para reducir la pobreza. Esto debe ser un importante llamado de alerta para el gobierno de Petro. Con una derecha por ahora con un bajo perfil, ello no debe llevar a hacerse falsas percepciones. Tan pronto el gobierno encuentre dificultades para cumplir sus promesas, la derecha, que controla la mayor parte de los medios de comunicación, va a ponerse en campaña para intentar mermar el respaldo popular que ahora goza Petro. Eso sin contar con las maniobras sucias que políticos de derecha han usado en el pasado en Brasil, Paraguay, Argentina, Bolivia o más recientemente Perú. En conclusión, el discurso y la estrategia de unidad con la que Petro ha iniciado su gestión son muy positivos y sin duda apelan a la mayoría de la población. Pero no hay que perder de vista que los enemigos de los cambios sociales no están nunca completamente derrotados y sin duda ya preparan su estrategia para impedir que el gobierno que se inicia pueda cumplir su programa. Desde acá solo esperamos que esas maniobras fracasen, aunque en última instancia ello dependerá de la movilización del pueblo colombiano y de cuán atento esté para apoyar y acompañar al presidente Petro en esta inédita tarea de avanzar y caminar junto a la espada de Bolívar por ese complejo pero venturoso sendero que no es solo relevante para Colombia, sino para todo el continente. The Weekly Review, A New Era for Colombia. When the thousands of people gathered during Gustavo Petro's inauguration in Bogotá this past Sunday and began to chant, "Alert, alert, alert, the sword of Bolívar walks for Latin America," the emotional slogan acquired a very special symbolism. The fact that for the first time a leftist president will take over the Colombian government has a continental impact, since it adds a new country in the region with a progressive agenda. If Lula da Silva wins in Brazil in October, we could be seeing an important change of direction in all of South America, with right-wing governments only in Uruguay, Paraguay, and Ecuador. In the rest of Latin America and the Caribbean in the meantime, progressive governments will also be in place in Mexico, Honduras, Nicaragua, several of the English-speaking Caribbean countries, and certainly in Cuba, whose revolution marked the first milestone in that long march for continental liberation. By the way, as has been the norm in other countries where leftist governments have managed to win elections, the right wing, the interest of large economic and financial groups, and behind the scenes, the ever-watchful eye of the United States, will be there to make things very difficult for Gustavo Petro and his government. Undoubtedly, he knows this very well. The important reforms in the areas of taxation, land ownership, and putting Colombia on the path to achieve the long-awaited peace with all the armed groups currently operating in the country will not be easy tasks, and the enemies of social change will undoubtedly use all the resources at their disposal to derail the new government's attempts at reform. The Spanish jurist and former judge Baltasar Garzón, commenting on the significance of the new government, also pointed out the political breadth of the cabinet that accompanies Petro. Quote, "The path Petro intends to follow will run through the path of agreement, through a national pact that includes those who did not vote for him, an important challenge that includes some of wills that today does not exist in Colombia. In his executive, there are conservatives such as Álvaro Leiva, who knows well the negotiations with the guerrillas, or Cecilia López, who from the agriculture portfolio will have to develop the essential agrarian reform. In the UN, he has placed a symbolic figure, Leonor Zabalza, an indigenous and a diplomat." Unquote. An important advantage Petro will have is a solid majority in both chambers of Congress, which should assure him the approval of the most emblematic projects of his government program. Although, on the other hand, it had already been revealed last week that the government of Iván Duque had left the fiscal coffers in very bad conditions, and, undoubtedly, a potential insufficiency of resources may affect the implementation of the measures announced by the government, especially regarding social programs and other measures necessary to reduce poverty. This should be an important wake-up call for Petro's government. With the right wing for now keeping a low profile, this should not lead to false perceptions. As soon as the government encounters difficulties in fulfilling its promises, the right wing, which controls most of the media, will campaign to try to undermine the popular support Petro now enjoys. That, without counting the dirty maneuvers which right-wing politicians have used in the past in Brazil, Paraguay, Argentina, Bolivia, and more recently, Peru. In conclusion, the discourse and the strategy of unity with which Petro has started his administration are very positive and undoubtedly appeal to most of the population. But we must not lose sight of the fact that the enemies of social change are never completely defeated, and they are undoubtedly already preparing their strategy to prevent the new government from fulfilling its program. From here, we only hope that this maneuver fails, although ultimately it will depend on the mobilization of the Colombian people and how attentive they are to support and accompany President Petro in this unprecedented task of advancing and walking together with the sword of Bolívar along this complex but fortunate path that is not only relevant for Colombia, but for the entire continent. Good day.
Abrazados, amándose entre dos. Como ciegos dándose las manos, confiándose los dos. Y sus lágrimas los hacen verse humanos, soportan un error y a veces hasta dos. Pero de repente el sol... desaparece la esperanza de volverse a ver. Y las fuerzas que han estado escondidas van perdiendo todo su valor, pero de repente se dejan arrastrar por el temor, van perdiendo poco a poco la ilusión. Cuando ya no suenan canciones de amor, uno piensa que morir es solución, y el otro ve que el cielo es mayor.
Porque al otro lado del miedo está el país que soñamos.
Porque esta vez la historia no se escribirá a la fuerza, ni entre unos pocos. Se escribirá entre todas y todos.
Por un nuevo país para nuestros jóvenes, niñas, niños y niñas.
Porque amamos la vida, la paz y la esperanza.
Por un país más equitativo y que hemos anhelado por tantos años.
Para avanzar hacia un Estado social verdaderamente democrático, más justo e inclusivo.
Por memoria, verdad, justicia, reparación y no repetición.
Porque por primera vez podremos ser protagonistas de un cambio profundo.
Por una constitución ecológica que esté preocupada del medio ambiente
y que proteja la naturaleza de nuestro país.
Porque merecemos un país digno en el cual poder vivir mejor.
Para que la salud, vivienda y educación sean un derecho y no un privilegio.
Para que el agua y los recursos naturales sean una fuente de vida para los pueblos y no un negocio ni un negociado.
Para frenar los abusos de un modelo que produce una desigualdad vergonzosa.
Por un Estado plurinacional e intercultural que reconozca y respete las diversidades y los pueblos.
Para que sean respetados, protegidos y garantizados los derechos humanos sin discriminación.
Por un país con igualdad de condiciones y sin discriminación de género.
Por una nueva constitución que proteja y garantice los derechos de los trabajadores y las trabajadoras.
Para que la cultura sea un motor esencial del ser humano y de las comunidades.
Para derribar la constitución de Pinochet y lograr los cambios por los que luchamos tanto tiempo.
Podemos escribir la historia nueva.
Yo apruebo.
Yo apruebo.
Yo apruebo.
Yo apruebo.
Apruebo.
Yo apruebo.
Nosotros aprobamos.
Apruebo.
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 Yo apruebo.
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 Apruebo, pues.
Apruebo.
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 Sí queremos.
hacer de mí icono pedazo, para salvarme entre únicos e impares, para cederme un lugar en su Parnaso, para darme un rinconcito en sus altares. Me vienen a convidar a arrepentirme, me vienen a convidar a que no pierda, me vienen a convidar a indefinirme, me vienen a convidar a tanta mierda. Yo no sé lo que es el destino, caminando fui lo que fui. Ay, adiós, que será divino, yo me muero como viví, yo me muero como viví, yo me muero como viví. Seguir jugando a lo perdido, yo quiero ser a la zurda más que diestro, yo quiero hacer un congreso del unido, yo quiero rezar a fondo un hijo nuestro. Dirán que pasó de moda la locura, dirán que la gente es mala y no merece, yo partiré soñando travesuras, o multiplicar panes y peces. Yo no sé lo que es el destino, caminando fui lo que fui. Ay, adiós, que será divino, yo me muero como viví, yo me muero como viví, yo me muero como viví. Como viví, como viví, yo me muero como viví.
Machacaran mis manos y mi boca, que me arrancaran los ojos y el badajo. ¿Será que la necedad parió conmigo? La necedad de lo que hoy resulta necio, la necedad de asumir al enemigo, la necedad de vivir sin tener precio. Yo no sé lo que es el destino,
vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 14 de agosto, entre los anuncios de interés público, dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la segunda vacuna de refuerzo o cuarta dosis. También el gobierno de Quebec ha anunciado que ya está disponible la vacuna para los niños más pequeños, esto es, menores de 5 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Click Sante, ya sea en francés o en inglés.
Y eventos. Acto artístico Canto por el Apruebo, organizado por el Comité Montreal con Chile, el domingo 21 de agosto a partir del mediodía en el Parque de las Américas, en la esquina de Saint-Laurent y Rachel.
Y en cuanto a las publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e en inglés del libro Presencia Estilena en la Belle Provence se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Universidad de Montreal, esto es en el 3200 de la calle Brillant, en la librería Bertrand también, en el 430 de la calle Saint-Pierre, en el viejo Montreal, en el internet, en la cadena Renobré, en la librería Argos, en el 1841A de Saint-Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, en el 2220 de McGill College Avenue, y el precio es de $10 más impuestos.
Y el tiempo para hoy. Según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, combinación de sol y nubosidad con una temperatura máxima de 26 grados. Para esta noche, nublado con una mínima de 17 grados.
Y recuerda que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que deseen difundir en el fichero latino, solo tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica, laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet. Entre el sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Su boina calada, con sus guantes de seda, su sirena varada, sus fiestas de guarda. Su vuelva usted mañana, su sálvese quien pueda. Su partidita de mus, su fulanita de tal. Con su todo es ahora, con su nada es eterno. Con su rap y su chotis, con su ocupa y su skin. Aunque muera el verano y tenga prisa el invierno, la primavera sabe que la espero en Madrid. Con su otoño Velázquez, con su torre Picasso, su santo y su torero, su atleti, su Borbón, sus gordas de Botero, sus hoteles de paso, su taleguito de Hans, sus abuelitos al sol. Con su hoguera de nieve, su verbena y su duelo. Su 18 de julio, su 14 de abril. A mitad de camino, entre el infierno y el cielo. Yo me bajo en Atocha, yo me quedo en Madrid. Aunque la noche delire como un pájaro en llamas, aunque no dé a la gloria la puerta de Alcalá, aunque la maja desnuda cobre 15 y la cama, aunque la maja vestida no se deje besar. Pasaré las Cibeles, cárcel de yeserías, puente de los franceses, tascas de Chamberí. Ya no sueña aquel niño que soñó que escribía. Corazón de María, no me dejes así. Corte de los Milagros, Virgen de la Almudena, Chabolas de Uralita, Palacio de Cristal. Con su no pasarán, con su vivan las cadenas, su cementerio civil, su banda municipal. He llorado en Venecia, me he perdido en Manhattan. He crecido en La Habana, he sido un paria en París. México me atormenta, Buenos Aires me mata. Pero siempre hay un tren que desemboca en Madrid. Pero siempre hay un niño que envejece en Madrid.
Pero siempre hay un vuelo.
Pero siempre hay un coche que derrapa en Madrid.
Pero siempre hay un barco.
Pero siempre hay un fuego que se enciende en Madrid.
Pero siempre hay un sueño.
Pero siempre hay un barco que naufraga en Madrid.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
This is Gary Neal of Cockeysville, Maryland. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, August the 14th, 2022. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and we thank you for tuning in to our 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group continues to grow, International Radio Report. We have four new members this week. We welcome Paul, Sheila, Alex, and Kevin to the group. And our YouTube channel, 674 subscribers. You can not only listen, but watch the show, sort of in a hybrid version of audio-visual going on with there on the YouTube channel. So you can check that out at your own leisure if you are not able to catch the show live each week. So we will get the show going this week with kind of a follow-up story. We had a story that made quite a lot of news, I guess, a couple months back, with a former employee of Chorus's radio station Q107 in Toronto. She was one of the co-hosts of the morning show, a very popular morning show in Toronto radio on Q107, but had filed complaints with management about working conditions and misconduct and what have you. They kind of swept it under the carpet. They didn't really do anything about it. Their morning show host was very popular and their ratings were good with him. The lady decided to go public and put out a very telling video that got a lot of views. And I guess that sort of sparked a reaction from the radio station and from Chorus, the owners. They suspended him. They put the show on hiatus to begin with. So they kind of just went away for a little while. Now we have the follow-up. And the headline comes from Jackson Weaver of CBC News. Radio host John Derringer and Q107 of Chorus, quote-unquote, part ways amid misconduct investigation. Toronto radio station Q107 says that host John Derringer, who was on hiatus after a misconduct investigation was initiated by the parent company Chorus Entertainment earlier this year, is leaving his show, Derringer in the Morning. The rock station posted a statement detailing the change on Twitter, saying that Derringer and Q107 had, quote, agreed to part ways, effective today. It went on to state that the independent investigation initiated by Chorus remains ongoing. Derringer first went on hiatus after allegations of verbal abuse and gender-based discrimination were raised by Jennifer Valentine, a high-profile broadcaster who used to work there. Valentine first made accusations in May when she posted a widely shared video on Facebook condemning the way she was treated by her former employer and by coworkers. She did not name specific colleagues in the video, but in a subsequent email to CBC confirmed the subjects of the video were Q107, Chorus, and John Derringer. Valentine wrote that she came forward because she didn't want her voice to be silent anymore. There is a double standard that still exists and that must change, she continued. When one woman is treated with disrespect in the workplace, it impacts all of us. The overwhelming response from women with similar experiences supports the need for equality. Valentine worked as a co-host with Derringer, who had been the host at Q107 for 22 years. Chorus began its investigation 3 days after Valentine's video was posted and issued a statement saying, quote, it had mediated conversations with her and was waiting determination of the next steps. It also stated there was a process underway with the Canadian Human Rights Commission following Valentine's video. A number of other Toronto radio personalities raised similar complaints about Derringer, including former colleagues Jackie Delaney and Maureen Holloway. In its statement on Tuesday, Q107 said plans for a new morning show are forthcoming. There are numerous comments and discussions on a number of different Facebook groups and pages. You can check them out, Canadian Radio News and others. We'll put some links up for you. But it's really sparked a lot of reaction. And the parting the ways basically means you're out of here. you know, they're going to have to take the bite the bullet and see what it does to their ratings. What will they put in its place? They haven't announced yet. You know, when somebody that's been around for 22 years and has kept you near the top of the ratings is suddenly gone, I think they found out that probably some of the allegations had some meat to them. Where he ends up next, we don't know. If he ends up somewhere, we'll have to wait and see. But that's where the story is at this point.
I think what's interesting in here is, you know, let's hope that it changes one thing. It's like, even though you have a star on your radio network, if something isn't right, if he is abusive in some way, incorrect in some way, I think that we got to stop protecting these people. I mean, there's a reason why they just, you know, don't say anything. It's like money's racking in. The guy's popular. But it's not an excuse for keeping someone that is not correct with women or anybody else.
Just because
they're popular. You got to stand in and do something about it.
It is kind of a shame that it took Valentine going public like that. And then, you know, 3 days later, after they get the bad press, they realize, oh, I guess we better do something now. But, you know, it's a shame that it took that long to react.
So the FCC joins FEMA in issuing emergency alert system warning. This is by Paul McLean from Radio World. The Federal Communications Commission is echoing the warning from the Federal Emergency Management Agency about keeping EAS software current. Its Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau has issued a public notice reminding radio and TV stations, as well as other communications providers that participate in the EAS, to secure their equipment against risks from exposure on the Internet. And we reported FEMA this month issued an advisory about potential vulnerabilities in some encoder-decoder devices that have not been updated to current software versions. The vulnerability could leave them open to hacking and the broadcast of false alerts. FEMA issued a warning because it learned that this vulnerability might be discussed publicly at a hacker and security conference this week. The FCC Bureau issued a similar notice about this in April of 2020. Now it again urges EAS participants, regardless of the make and model of their gear, to upgrade the software and firmware to the most recent versions recommended by the manufacturer and secure the equipment behind a good firewall as soon as possible. Further steps to keep EAS safe are to install software security patches from the manufacturer, change default passwords, continually monitor EAS equipment and software, and review audit logs to detect incidents of unauthorized access and review recommended best practices. You know what they're talking about? Disclosure of these safety or security hazards at conferences. This is actually a good thing. There's a lot of these going on around the world several times a year, where people are there to actually choose, exploit, find flaws in these systems. And of course, they're going to disclose the information. So once that is found, you got to really fix it quickly because the bad guys are going to be out there and going to exploit this. These hackers are there to benefit or be positive and help us in fix these things before any bad guys actually find the flaws.
Yeah, this, you know, confirms we just had the story about FEMA issuing this warning and now FCC jumping on board with it. So we know they're backing it up and they realize that it's something really important that needs to be locked down properly. So So that's a good piece of news there.
Yep.
Our next story comes from Southgate Amateur Radio News, and it involves the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, NARO. The NARO program to educate emerging generation of scientists using amateur radio. A new National Radio Astronomy Observatory program aims to educate emerging generations about the electromagnetic spectrum through an interactive, substantive experience with amateur radio, funded by a grant from Amateur Radio Digital Communications. The program Exploring the Electromagnetic Spectrum and Why Amateur Radio Matters will focus on broadening the excitement of amateur radio among BIPOC and LGBTQIA+ students. Bringing together the expertise of the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, amateur radio enthusiasts and subject matter experts, SMEs, the two-year program will introduce two cohorts of students to radio technologies, engage these students in hands-on activities that will deepen their knowledge of astronomy, particularly radio astronomy, supporting them in attaining their technician class and general class amateur radio licenses, and develop a scalable curriculum to be shared nationwide and internationally through Super KNOVA, NRAO's online learning platform. Students will learn about the very real ways in which the electromagnetic spectrum is a natural resource, every bit as limited and precious as the oceans and forests. They will also learn how amateur radio is an essential part of our national emergency infrastructure and a crucial resource in times of climate change and pandemics. The program is expected to start in January 2023, initially involving 10 students. According to Dr. Tony Beasley, the director of NRAO, amateur radio continues to be incredibly important to the nation and global communications, and they are excited to be working with ARDC to bring a new generation and diverse communities to the field. So putting some importance and education to a new group of people about radio astronomy and amateur radio.
You know, it's something we don't hear very often, taking care of the radio spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about light pollution, and we have the equivalent in radio, which is the radio frequency interference we get from all the electronic devices. Interference means not seeing whatever you want to see out there in the cosmos, and maybe protecting and learning to protect the radio spectrum is important.
Yeah, some people talk about radio pollution as to what comes out of your radio with some of the talk shows and stuff we hear. But this is a whole different thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a little more technical.
What's happening with our sun? Well, this week was rather, you know, quiet. Nothing unusual or special. But, you know, we're in a little quiet moment. Somebody actually was asking a question this week. We had these really high peaks a few months ago, and the sun's kind of quiet down. I was wondering, is the solar activity, the solar cycle kind of not going anywhere? And it's like, no, actually, it's still going high. But, you know, we got these highs and lows in the solar cycle. So the sun can be a little quieter in its solar cycle when something happens. So right now it's in a quiet little bit. We have a coronal hole that might actually create some unsettled conditions on August 18th or 19th. But apart from that, solar flux 115. We've got a sunspot number that is 58. And propagation in general is pretty good. It's really changing. I mean, I was listening this week. Signals that are usual good summer propagation signals, Radio New Zealand 15720. Starting to fade out slowly. It's like, yeah, we're moving into fall slowly. It's showing. BBC 9915 from the Madagascar relay, which has been rock solid for the past month, starting to fade out also. Shows us that we're moving to the fall propagation, but still good. Lots of stuff out there. But you know what? You want to hear them? Only one thing you can do. Turn on the radio and listen.
This is John Figliozzi of Clifton Park, New York. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
So there's a new radio that is supposed to come out sometime this month, and it's been creating a lot of hype. It's from Ethon, and it's the Elite Satellite HD. It's a portable radio, but portable is a little—it's a big word here because it's a really big radio, and it promises to have a lot of little things of interest. Now, what is the probably its biggest problem is the price. We are having amazing radios for $100-$200, and this radio is coming out at a price tag of $699. That's a lot of money. We're not that far off from, transceiver prices, actually, for amateur radio, desktop transceivers. Its frequency coverage, of course, will be 150 to 30,000 kilohertz. It will include the FM broadcast band, 87 to 108. It will have HD radio in North America and DAB Plus elsewhere. But the problem is it says optional, so I'm curious about that. What do you mean by optional? Is it something you're going to buy extra to have HD capabilities? At that price, I'm not sure an extra is a good idea. Maybe it should be included, depending on the market where you are. It has, of course, phase lock loop and all of that, but it has a couple of features that you see on high-end receivers that you don't see on portables. And one of them is the IF passband tuning. We see that on high-end desktops usually. So it does have a few features that are high-end. IF passband tuning means that you can actually kind of stay on a frequency but shift or intermediate frequency to kind of move away from a signal that's interfering. Has multiple bandwidths, that's for sure. It needs to be that because, even a low Texan 330 has multiple bandwidths today. So we have to see if they are of good quality. They are kind of positioning this radio as not only a radio that is a good AM/FM with airband, VHF airband receiver, but also that has advanced features, audio quality features. The clock on the radio can actually be automatically synchronized with WWV, which is an interesting feature. This is going to be interesting. Dual programmable clocks. Automatic with WWV or RDS, which a lot of radios have actually right now. Calibrated LCD signal strength meter, which is also something good because a lot of portables, the S meter, the signal strength meter is not very accurate. No built-in ferrite for the AM radio. You have to use a telescopic or an external antenna, which is kind of interesting. And apparently it's because of the internal noise generated by the radio. It's going to use D batteries because it's a really big radio. But what is it that's going to bring us to that? It has a really nice 5.7-inch square 240 by 340 pixel dot matrix display with backlighting that's supposed to be very uniform and very nice. Digital synthesis for drift-free frequency stability and finest tuning resolution. Some kind of precise circuit for tuning around. So what I can say is it's going to be interesting. It's a big radio and nice, really has a nice big LCD display in front. Kind of looks like the old Ethon Satellite XM, which could receive XM Sirius radio satellite with the options. Really looks like they're using almost the same package to put the electronics in it. Is it going to be worth $699? That's the interesting part of it. It's very expensive for today's radios.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything in that price range for quite some time. Like you said, a lot of the companies were getting away from those expensive radios and putting quality radios at affordable prices with a lot of features that they could seemingly do for a much cheaper price. So what is Ethon trying to do here? I don't know. Is there a market for a $700 US radio these days? Hard to say. We'll have to just wait and see. I know there's a lot of buzz about it, lots of people talking about it. Are they ready to spend that kind of money?
You got to think about the fact that this thing has been introduced as an idea that we could have it somewhere in 2020, pushed to 2021. now we're 2022, and you know, I was saying so many times, is I'll talk about it when I think it's official, because right. They're just pushing it all the time. But one of the articles that I did read, and it was the Spectrum Monitor, where they were saying, well, you know, Ethan knows its market. If they're still pushing it, they're still believing that there's somebody out there that's going to purchase this radio.
We shall see.
Yes, yes.
You can't tell. There's lots of buzzwords in their publicity about it anyways. And, you know, whether they all work properly, if they do what they're supposed to do,
yeah,
remains to be seen. We will wrap up our stories with a bit of a funny one that came in from Onley, Texas, the Onley Enterprise by Gina Keating. A Graham, Texas Police Department apprehends pirate radio on police channel. Now, we think of the conventional, you know, some guy playing radio out there and walking on top of the channel purposely or what have you. This one's a lot different. Graham police officers tracked down a radio that had been transmitting the sounds of a barking dog named LT over Young County law enforcement dispatch channels for months, interfering with first responders in the field and putting officers in potentially dangerous situations, Sheriff Travis Babcock said. The rogue transmissions involving the dog and a man, woman, and children yelling at each other and at LT to stop barking were a daily occurrence familiar to law officers countywide. It got so bad that deputies sometimes had to call each other on cell phones to communicate, and Sheriff Babcock contacted the FCC for help. The FCC gave the sheriff a statement to broadcast, warning the pirate radio to cease operating on the emergency channel, but nothing worked until two Graham police officers heard the chatter while patrolling on the morning of July the 8th. Officer Lipsy could hear from the content that the location was having their roof replaced. Both officers located a house at 1500 block of Dressler, and where they observed that the hammering sounds matched the sounds of the radio traffic. The homeowners acknowledged that they had children and a dog named LT and a handheld radio, the police statement said. Officer Lipsy got consent to search the house and found the voice-activated radio sitting on a windowsill in a charger, and it was transmitting. The radio was then seized. The radio and the case had been turned over to Young County Sheriff's Office. It was not immediately clear if the county would charge file against the owners of the radio. Sheriff Babcock said he had considered filing misdemeanor charges of interference with public duty. The perpetrator could also face federal charges for interfering with emergency communications. Now, did the people and the dog have any idea of what they were doing? Doesn't sound like it.
You know, that story just reminded me of one thing that I got here, which is a famous Baofeng UV5R. This yep. thing that you get for $40 on Amazon and transmits everywhere on the VHF, UHF range. It's not locked. And that means, you know what? You can transmit on a police frequency, on any frequency of any services. When I saw that and when I got mine, the first thing I thought is, we're just asking for trouble because this is crazy. And there are people, you know, I think this is the category of people that I think are innocent in a way that they just don't know what they have. It's like a walkie-talkie, you know, yeah. And they just don't know they're broadcasting maybe on a frequency of something important.
What I find odd, though, is this had been going on for so long and it seemed to be always transmitting. So if they found it, like sitting in a charger, I don't really understand what the family was probably using it for in the first place, although it was transmitting on that particular frequency. Yeah. So it's kind of odd as to, you know, were they intentionally doing this? Did they're really, like you said, they're really inexpensive and very cheaply made. Hard to say, you know, was it intentional? They were very forthcoming. They said, yeah, come in and check the house. You know, something's happening. And they find the thing sitting there. So,
and the description gives us like an idea that it's kind of an open microphone. you're hearing every day, like a baby monitor, everyday life of somebody somewhere. So I don't think it's intentional necessarily. Maybe it was faulty, or it's interesting to see this. You know, whatever they had could be different equipment, but it's very interesting.
You know what would have been really funny? It would have been really funny if LT was a police dog. And he's saying, well, I was on my frequency.
Hey, I'm on duty.
Here's my license. It's around my collar.
But I think that's a very interesting story to tell us, that the lack of rules of verification of whatever comes in and out of our countries and is really a big problem, because now we're getting these things coming in. And I can't even imagine. You know, I can see from some source or like eBay, where you get anything from anywhere. But from Amazon, where obviously a radio like I have is illegal technically, because it's not supposed to transmit on all the frequency ranges. It should be limited. I don't know. We're asking for trouble at some point for sure.
Lesson learned. Keep your dog away from your radio, though.
Yep. And Baofengs are not just standard walkie-talkies, okay?
Yep, exactly.
So there's some upcoming AM radio contests.
Yeah, we have some this for next weekend this time round. It was a little quiet, but this weekend is a little more active. We have the Scandinavian Amateur Radio Teleprinter Group organizing the Worldwide Radio Teletype Contest, 0-100 Zulu August 20th to 1600 Zulu August 21st, 80 through 10 meters, radio teletype only.
There's the North American QSO Party, SSB, 1800 hours Zulu, August 20th through 0559 Zulu, August 21st, organized by the National Contest Journal. Bands 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters, and it is SSB phone.
That should be a pretty busy one. That's a pretty big contest. An event organized by the Radio Amateur School of Communications Club, Portugal. The CVADX contest, CW, 2100 Zulu, August 20th to 2100 Zulu, August 21st, 10 meters through 160 meters, and it is CW Morse code only.
There's the New Jersey QRP group that has the Skeeter Hunt, 17 hours Zulu to 21 hours Zulu, August 21st. The NJQRP club is announcing the 10th annual Skeeter Hunt. The objective is to get the QRPers out of their shacks for the day and into the fresh air and sunshine to spread their wings and fill the airways with skeeters. Band 80 to 10 meters, it's CW and SSB.
Yeah, that's kind of a strange one. Getting them out of their closets, basically, like out of the basement.
The
get
basement.
Those headphones off and get out there, and there's actually life outside your radio shack. So check that one out. And finally, the for newcomers, the ARRL Rookie Roundup, RTTY, 1800 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, August 21st. It's organized by the American Radio Relay League. The objective is newly licensed hams, or rookies, in North America are encouraged to exchange information with as many other stations as possible. Experienced ham operators are encouraged to participate and to help out rookies in person or on the air. So it runs from 80 through 10 meters, the HF bands, but it is a radio teletype contest only.
Pretty cool. Lots of stuff to listen to and participate.
Definitely. Give them a check. We'll put them all up on our Facebook group, or you can get all the information with links to the websites and the rules and regulations, etc.
Hey, we're out of time.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, though, we jammed into today's show. You could check it out again on YouTube if you want to pull up any of the information. We also post the stories on our Facebook group, International Radio Report. So have a great week, everybody. We'll do it all again next Sunday with our next edition of the show, the International Radio Report, on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Ecos del Torbes, su emisora predilecta. Estaciones YVOC, 4980 kHz, banda de 60 metros. YVOD, 780 kHz, banda local. YVSC, 9640 kHz, banda internacional de 31 metros. Y para el mundo entero a través de la red, www.ecosdeltorbes.net. En San Cristóbal, Estado Táchira, República Bolivariana de Venezuela.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Thank you.